right. Good morning, everybody. Hey, before we move forward and continue in the message, I want to take just a minute to highlight one of the things that has taken place here this week in the church, and I'm going to get my wife to do it because she's obviously a lot prettier and probably a better pontificator than I am. So
that's not true at all.
But it sounds fun
that's
to say.
That's why I sing and I don't
Everybody,
speak.
Everybody, y'all say that word, pontificator.
Pontificator?
Man, it's just powerful, right?
I don't even know what that means.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyways, okay, so we're just going to give a shout-out to one of the newest volunteer teams in the church, and it is the hospitality team. And the hospitality team is something that we put together and asked some of the most caring people that we know in the church to be a part of. And this week, just in our body, this week, we had three people in our church lose their dads, which is crazy, just one after another. It was nuts. But anyways, and so during that time, of course, Chris and I usually find out through the grapevine or someone texts us and let us know. But our hospitality team, as Chris likes to say, kicked butt and took names, okay? They were on it. They were calling these people, checking in on them, taking meals to their front door, asking them how they're doing, sending them cards in the mail to let them know that we love them, we're thinking about them. And they were truly just, the hospitality team is the hands and feet of God in the community throughout the week outside of Sunday mornings. And so I just want to celebrate them and just kind of give them a round of applause.
I've told you guys this before. So the hospitality team to me is so important because I'm not the person that you want to come visit you in the hospital. Man, I'm so awkward in those moments. It's like, you know, you're on your deathbed. I'm like, how you doing? Stating the obvious, right? But these people, man, they're just, it's a gift. I really do believe that that is a gift that you have, you know, and you can use that, obviously, to serve God and serve the church. And so we just thank God for the hospitality team. Now, if you haven't noticed, my James Earl Jones-esque voice is gone, and now I sound like a, you know, raspy teenager who is struggling, if you know what I mean. And so I probably will squeak at some point along the way. Has anybody been dealing with, like, sinuses and allergies and all this jazz? Yeah, man, like it starts in your nose and it's like, ah, right? So I just think it's the devil. And so get behind me, Satan, right? So last week we started a series called, we started a message in our series. The series is called If, like if question mark. And kind of the premise of the series is really simple. In January, we all essentially do some form of reset, or we kind of recalculate. We look at things that took place last year that maybe went well that we want more of, or maybe they didn't go so well and we want to make some changes in our life. And so you call them whatever you want, goals, New Year's resolutions, you know, on and on. But I don't want us to think small. I want us to think big. Don't just think about your waistline. Think about eternity, right? Don't just think about the next, you know, year financially. Think about the legacy that you'll leave for your children's children. It talks about in Psalms, maybe it's a proverb, I don't know, it's in the Old Testament, where it's, you know, it says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So don't just think about what you can attain this year. Think about the legacy that you'll leave. So let's not think small in our goals. And so when we're thinking about our goals, we need some parameters, we need some handles, we need some things that'll help us to accomplish them, because we all know how this goes, right? It's the same song and dance. Everybody sets out to accomplish something in the new year, and by February, what goal? Right? What gym? What diet? What budget? Right? It's just gone, right? And I think the same thing happens in our spiritual goals as well. Like maybe you set out, man, I'm going to really spend some quality time in prayer this year, and prayer will be a priority for me. And then all of a sudden, you make it 2 or 3 weeks, and you realize how busy you are. Right? And here's the thing, man. It's not that you're busy. It's just your priorities are out of whack, right? Because things that are urgent, they never take the place of things that are important, but we allow things that are urgent to take precedence over important, right? Because urgent feels like you got to do it, but if you just look at the situation, do you really have to do it right then? Is anybody going to die if you don't do it right then? Unlikely. So focus on important, not urgent. Man, I didn't even plan on talking about all that stuff. So anyway, kind of where we started with this is like, man, we just want to give some handles on accomplishing the goals. So we talked about asking the right questions. Isn't that important? Because thanks, Shelly. Shelly's fired up this morning. She's kind of supplementing for my weaknesses and my insufficiencies. And so we ask the right questions, you get the right answers. I'm convinced that whoever came up with the idea that there's no such thing as a bad question, they're just not very intelligent. Right? There are bad questions. They're stupid questions. You have children, you know.
Right? And maybe you're a better parent than I am, but when my kids ask dumb questions, I'm like, that's a dumb question. And I know, judge me, that's fine, that's cool. You know that you think the same thing, I just say what you think, right? There are dumb questions, and in our goals, there are bad questions too, like, what can I accomplish? As opposed to, who am I becoming? Who always takes precedence over what it should in our lives? Your character is always more important than what you accomplish. And we just, man, we have a tendency to get this mixed up. We have a tendency to focus more on what we do than who we are, right? And when we do that, we're placing our emphasis, our stock, our worth in the wrong kinds of things. And it leads to a path that you don't want to end up on. So there are dumb questions. So ask the right questions. And in the second week, we talked about, isn't it funny how, like, we know this expression, the point of no return. Right? Have you heard it? We love 90s kids shows because they're just funny. You can get away with a lot more in the 90s than you can today because everybody's politically correct, right? So my son calls this show Fat Camp. It's called Heavyweights. Right? If you guys remember this? And so it's, you know, a bunch of kids, they go to summer camp, and it's they call it Fat Camp. That's what it is. And so in the show, they kind of take over the camp, and one of the lead characters, he's like, gentlemen, we have reached the point of no return. Like, we understand this expression, right? But I think in our goals, we don't have that. We don't have this point where we're like, I'm not going back to the thing that I'm trying to get away from, the thing that I'm trying to separate. We always leave the door open. Shut the freaking door. Don't go back to the thing that God has called you out of, for whatever it's worth. And then last week, man, this is the Cliff's Notes version, right? Last week, we started kind of looking at more of the tangible components. So let's kind of we'll set this thing back up. So this is the if bridge. This is where you are, and there's a hypothetical bridge to where you want to be, where you're going, where you're headed, what you want to accomplish, who you want to become, right? That's our hypothetical bridge. Now, I'm going to warn you up front. I have tissue and throat coat. I don't know if that's the proper terminology, but that's what I'm going with. So there's a bridge from where you are to where you want to be. And there are supports, there are things that you can implement along the way that will help you accomplish the goals that you have. Last week we looked at two. The first one, these are obvious, right? People. It's obvious, but why are you still hanging out with homeboy? Right? Why are you still in that stupid relationship that you know you shouldn't be in, that all your friends tell you is a bad relationship and you need to get out of it? And it's so obvious, and you don't want somebody repeating the obvious to you, but you're still doing the same thing you've been doing. You're getting the same results you got. Dang! All right, so that's the first one. The second one is discipline. And this one, it's so funny to me. Like, we're smart people, man. We are. Like, I think we could have, if you had a conversation with any person in this room, you would walk away from the conversation saying, that's a smart person. They've got a level head. They make good decisions. But I think even as astute as we are as a bunch, a lot of us have bought into the notion that something significant, worthwhile, of merit and mention can be accomplished without a lot of work. And that's just not true. That's just not true. It takes discipline. It takes sacrifice to accomplish your goal. If your goal, whatever your goal is, if it's spiritual, financial, relational, whatever your goal is, if it's significant, if it's worthwhile, it will take effort, discipline, over time, and sacrifice to accomplish your goal. So that's what we talked about last week. These are obvious, right? There is nothing mind-blowing, earth-shattering here, right? There's no new revelation from God on things that will change your life and alter humanity and history, but they're good because, again, I think we just need to be reminded of a lot of things because for whatever reason, we seem to forget. So the third one that we're going to look at, is anybody as like eternally optimistic as I am? Maybe naively optimistic? Like, I just always assume the best. Like, every week, every Saturday night, as I'm kind of rehashing my notes, I'm like, this is the best message ever. And I said the same thing the last week, and I'm like, but this one's better, right? And so I feel that way about this message. I'm excited because we're going to continue to look at this from an individual perspective, but we also get to step back and look at it from a corporate perspective, what if means to us as a church. And that's one of my favorite things to do. It's one of my passions, dreaming about what we can accomplish as a church if. But I digress. The third support, first one for today, is faith. So one of the things that you can do, one of the pillars, one of the supports that you need to have in your journey from where you are to where you're going is faith, right? It's again, nothing terribly profound, but it's something that we certainly need to remember as we set out to accomplish our goals this year. There will inevitably come a moment or a season in the course of any worthwhile endeavor where doubt and second guessing set in. Have you seen this? You experienced this? And this is what's cool about this, dude. I'm just going to bare my soul to you guys this week. I'm gonna express to you some of my struggles with this and where I've been and what I've felt and how we overcome our feelings of insufficiency and inadequacy, doubt, and you know, all of the things that go along with that. It's in those moments of doubt, it's in those moments of second guessing that I believe that most people lose the battle, right? Whatever your goal is, you've set out to accomplish X, and you get into it and you're like, was I really supposed to do this? Shouldn't it be easier? Like, you start asking yourself all, you go from 100% surety to 49% surety, right? You're like, I don't know. And then you go back. And it's our faith that's under attack in moments like that. It's in those moments that we lose the battle. So people go back to whatever it was that they went away from. And this is what's so messed up about it. They were wondering if they were ever called to do blank in the first place, right? It's amazing. And here's the deal. I've never met a person that's exempt from this. Like, when we're in those seasons, we're in those moments of weakness, we start to ask ourselves, did God really call me to do that anyway? Am I really the person that he would use for this? Because I know all the things that I've got going on in my life. I know all of my attitudes. I know all of my thoughts. I know all of the feelings that I've got. And so we know all of the negative, and we never focus on the positive because that's how we roll, right? And we start asking ourselves, did God really call me to do this or do that or whatever the case may be? We go from 100% certainty to 49% certainty. And it's then that your faith needs to be infused. Your faith needs to be refreshed. That's why you need to stay connected to the church. But we'll talk about that more in a minute, right? If you started out with the right questions, worrying about who you're becoming more importantly than what you can accomplish, and you're on the right path, then you need to remember something. This is something that will help refresh and infuse your faith. Remember who it is that initiated the change. Remember who's the one, who's the reason, who's the motivation, who's the source of the change and the ambition that you have. If God is the one that's called you to do something, he's going to see you through it to the end, right? If God is the initiator, he's also the closer. That's how he rolls. It's not in his nature. God doesn't load us up for a road trip and drop us off in the desert. That's not what he does. That's not how he rolls. He's a father that sees the nurturing and the maturing process of his children from where they are to where they need to be or where they're trying to get to, right? Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I love the way that starts out. And we're going to kind of, you know, shift up the phrasing here just a little bit. This is not sacrilegious. Don't send me a freaking email. Yeah, I've had to deal with some of that stuff lately. I will share my experiences with you momentarily, right? Pause. Be confident. It says being confident of this. But I want you, when you leave this place, to be confident of this. That if it's God who started it, he's going to help you finish it. If it's God who initiated this desire to change, if it's God who convicted you of a sin, he's not going to bring you so far and then just leave you hanging. He's with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Wherever you go, you can't escape from his presence. I love the psalm where it talks about, if I went to the heights of heaven, he's there. That's where he is. If I went to the depths of hell, he's there as well. Like, wherever I go, there he is. So he's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to help you finish what it is that you set out to accomplish. And you need to be confident in that. Let your faith be refreshed. Let your faith be restored. If God stirred your heart to do something, if he's placed a dream or a desire in you, or if he's convicted you about something that needed a change in your life, he will also help you see it through to completion. That's the God that we serve. We don't serve this like God that half-heartedly cares about us. We don't serve a God that's like our friends that when we talk to them, they're on their phone and you say something to them, they're like, what? It's not a pet peeve. God just, that's not how he is. That's not, he's not in this business of taking us so far and then just leaving us hanging. Now, this is what's so funny. a lot of times, and I've heard some really clever ways of explaining this, it's that the teacher is always silent during the tests, right? That doesn't mean the teacher's not there watching and the teacher's not there giving you the support that you need, but maybe there are moments where you feel like you're alone, but the teacher is always silent during the tests, right? You're going to take the test and she's going to give you the grade and she's going to celebrate and support you in the rest of the journey. And so here's the thing. It's not his nature. That's not how he rolls. But if we're ever at a point where we want to quit or go back, it's our faith that's under attack. And this is natural, right? Like I said, I've never met anybody who doesn't experience this on some level in maybe their own way. You feel in over your head. Anybody with me on that, right? You feel under-equipped, unqualified, and unworthy. All right, good, good. Because, you know, today it would be a good day. You obviously can tell my voice is a little weak, so I need some assistance from the audience so you guys can supplement and pick up my slack, right? So I can empathize with you. If you've ever felt under-equipped, unqualified, uncalled, unworthy, and you have all of these doubts about what it is that God has called you to do when you were so sure at some point, I can empathize. I'm with you. Let me share some of the feelings and struggles that we've had. We started the church a little over 5 years ago, and I remember, man, it was one of those crazy things. Have you ever had something that just stirs and stirs and stirs, and it almost makes you sick until you do something about it, right? I would stay up until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning just, like, dreaming, praying, writing stuff down about the kind of church that I saw on paper before it was ever in practice. It was before it was ever reality, and so I've kind of just had 100% surety and certainty. And I had to convince Shelley of the same. It took a little longer than I anticipated. So I knew for sure this is what we were called to do, but then you get into it and stuff starts happening, right? Like, there have been weeks where there's like 50 people that show up, and I'm like, God, did you, what? Right? Right? Because, again, this is my eternal optimism. I thought, I just kind of assumed this church is going to be awesome. We got some pretty awesome people. I think the preaching's all right. I think the music is fantastic. Probably a thousand people in the first year, no big deal, right? NBD. And then, you know, you start to learn the struggle of resourcing in church. You start to learn that some people prefer their own things over our thing. And you learn that some people will spend an exorbitant amount of money on themselves, but they won't give sacrificially to the church. And so it's like some months we write faith checks. I'm just kidding. We try not to do that, right? But there are some months where it's like we end up with, I mean, it's like we just, you know, we've scraped by. And I'm just like, God, did you really call me to do this? Because I feel like if you were in it, things would just be so much easier. And it's not true. It's just not true. And, you know, here's the funny thing. So I was in ministry. Shelley and I were in ministry for 9 years before we started this church. And I got a lot of people, this blows people's mind. But, you know, when you work full-time at a church, you actually get compensated for that. Like, it's your job. People get, it blows them away. They want you to work 50 hours a week at a church, but no compensation. You go do that. You go to your job 50 hours a week and don't get paid. Let's see how happy you is with your life, right? And so I was willing to sacrifice my salary for a year or two. I was like, I'm just so convinced that this is what God wants me to do that I'm not concerned about the money aspect of it. So I'm willing to forgo a salary for a year or two until the church gets established and we got our thousands of people and we're rocking and rolling, right? And so here we are 5 years in and I'm still forgoing a salary from the church. So there are times where I'm like, God, are you really in this? God, is this really what you want me to do with my life? When I was 100% certain here, sometimes along the way, I'm 49% sure, right? And then you get to experience people leaving. This is my fun part of the experience, because we get to make fun of people because they're not here to defend themselves. Because they left. That's your fault. And here's what's crazy. This is how this stuff happens. Like, man, people, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. They tell you how much they love you. They tell you how much they love this church. And then 2 weeks later, you're an idiot and they're gone. And it hurts. God, it hurts. Because I don't know about you and I don't know how you handle stuff, but I internalize things. When somebody leaves, I assume that I did something wrong. And I start trying to fix myself in the church so that they can come back. And it's just not the way this thing works. And so when they leave, I'm like, God, is this what you call me to do? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing with my life, getting betrayed by people that I'm pouring my life into? And I'm just like, this ain't easy, man. This is hard. It sucks sometimes. And where I was 100% certain over here, along the way, I become 49% sure. And I need to be reminded of some things sometimes. I need my faith to be refreshed and restored. I need to be reminded. I'm thirsty. Give me a moment. I need to be reminded of the moment that I was standing in that foyer. Everybody turn around and look so you stop looking at me for a minute. Yeah, there you go. David, open the door. Make it really distracting. Thank you. Yeah, I need to be reminded that I was standing in that foyer 4 years ago, and we pulled up the carpet, and there was some godforsaken glue under there that you had to grind up with an industrial grinder. And so for 3 days, my arms went like this, and when I closed my eyes at night, my hands were still moving. And so I was in the foyer just grinding, and I'm not one of those people that tells you that, man, I've heard from God. Like, God spoke to me. God talked to me. But it's as clear as it's ever been for me. I was standing in the foyer, and I heard the verse. I didn't plan on getting emotional today, man. It got me in my feels. Standing in the foyer, and I heard, I don't know if it was God or if it was just like this idea of this verse just being reaffirmed in my spirit, but it was that I will build my church. Struggling. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it doesn't matter what the attendance is. I mean, I would like more people. That's cool. Doesn't matter what our budget is. You know, there are a couple of churches in town. Their budget's like, it's literally millions of dollars. And I'm like, you guys suck. Doesn't matter if I get a salary from the church. It doesn't matter if people leave because they will. It doesn't matter if they tell you one thing and then they do another. It doesn't matter if we're never famous. It doesn't matter if we're never on the front of a magazine. We're not doing this for all of that stuff. We're doing this for Jesus. And the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. I need to be reminded of that stuff. I need to be reminded that people told me this morning, that this church is the reason that they became a Christian. That this church, prior to coming here, they didn't like church. They hated church, but they love church now because they come to this church. I need to be reminded that we baptized 23 people last year. They went from death to life, and that was their public profession of such. I need to be reminded of this stuff. Our faith needs to be inspired. I see men in this church overcoming their addiction to pornography. Right? Those are the things that we need to be reminded. Like, just remind yourself, whatever you need to remind yourself of why you set out and why you were 100% certain, even if you're 49% certain, remember why you were 100% certain, and you're not going back, and you're not going to stop, and you're not going to quit. You're going to see it through to completion. I see relationships that were broken, mended. I see people that, whose relationships were all but over, and now they're being restored. And that reminds me of why we set out to do what we set out to do. I see God's faithfulness in providing for every need that we have. That's the thing. Those are the things that we need to be reminded of. Where are my dudes? Where are my ushers? Y'all come on up here. I'm going to get some help. I got to hurry up. I'm not even to the meat of this thing yet. I only need three. One of y'all got to fight. All right. Jordan, right here. I want y'all in the front. Jordan, you're where we're going. This is our hashtag goals, ladies and gentlemen. David, you're our journeyer. You're almost there, brother. Raylan. It's Raylan Pace. I mixed the two. Raylan, you're the beginning. You're where we started. Y'all give me a second. This is ridiculous. I want to use this kind of as an illustration. Look, this is where you're at, right? This is where we're 49% sure that God has called us to do fill in the blank. And here's the thing. We start looking over here and we're like, man, I don't know if I can make it. Yeah, isn't that the truth? Man, this is hard. This is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And what we do is we forget how far he's brought us. And if God is faithful to bring you this far, why in the world would he not take you the rest of the way? And so when you get to this point and you've got those moments of doubt and you've got those moments of second guessing, just remember how far he's brought you. Remember all of the things that he's done along the way, and he's going to help you get through it. He's going to help you finish what he started, right? And so let that inspire your faith. Thank you, guys. Jordan, you're the goal. The golden state. I'm going to build you up since Daniel always tears you down. That's the kind of faith that we need, that whatever may come, if things aren't going like you think they should be going, because let's just be honest, when does that really happen? So when they don't go the way that you think they should go, I don't quit. I ain't going anywhere. There's not a better place for me to be. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm called to do, and I'm not turning back. I'm going to see it through to completion. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, I said, God, I was preaching, God, right? Hebrews 11:6, it says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's how we please God, with faith that, hey, man, I see you existing in these moments. I can look back and see where you provided. I can look back and see where you sustained. I can look back and see where you comforted me, and I'm not going back because I believe in you, and I believe that you're going to reward me, and I believe that faith in you pleases you, so I will finish what you started in me. So those are the kind of people that we need to be. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. That's what faith is, essential in our journey. The last one is this, and this one is always my favorite. It didn't turn out as pretty. I'm a quarter inch off. It's just not going to work. Eighth inch. Nailed it. The last one is this, and we're going to call it the IF church. And we set this up, right? The last component of the IF bridge that we're going to look at today is the role that the church plays in your life, but also the role that you play in the life of your church. I realize that this is something that I talk about this stuff all the time, right? And it kind of, I could see where somebody would assume that this is self-serving because the pastor's talking about how important it is to be a part of the church. And I talk about it a lot because I really do believe that, right? Have you ever met somebody that kind of talks about the same things over and over, but they're passionate about it, they really believe in it, and so you give them a pass? That's what I'm asking for this morning, is a pass. The reason that we talk about this so much is because I truly believe that being connected to, involved with, and a functioning part of the local church is life-giving, life-altering, and will aid you in your efforts to become more like Jesus. Like, I really do believe that. It's not like, man, these aren't empty words. I think the church will change your life. The church changed my life. Like, I know the path that I was on, and I know the things that I was doing and the end of that, what that would be, and the church changed my life. It's not empty words. It's truth. It's truth, right? I really do believe that we should be here every time the doors open. I really do, because look, here's the deal, man. We're not asking for like this unbelievable, ridiculous, excessive amount of your time. We're talking about an hour a week, man. You're talking about practice. I'm talking about an hour a week. An hour a week. 168 hours in a week. Church is 1 hour a week. And I just believe that it's a sacrifice. God forbid we use that word, sacrifice. One out of 168. It's a sacrifice that we should be really willing to make. And this is why. Here's the deal. You don't always come to church and you don't necessarily always leave like, man, my life will never be the same. But sometimes you come and you provide something for somebody else. Sometimes you come and you encourage somebody else. I'm getting ahead of myself. So I really do believe that we should be here every time the doors are open to celebrate the goodness and graciousness of God in corporate worship. That's biblical. Man, you go back to the Old Testament, they would have these times, these festivals, and for days on end, they would come together and they would just worship God. There's power in our corporate worship. So I think that we should join in on that. We should join every week and have his word challenge us to greater depths in our walk with him. I heard this quote one time, and it was so amazing. It was God's word, when we come and we sit under his word, what it is, it's comfort to the afflicted, and it's affliction to the comforted. man, if you're struggling and maybe you've experienced some things this week and your heart is heavy, you can come and God's word comforts you. Or if you're comfortable and you're not doing anything of worth with your life and maybe you're slacking, then God's word challenges you. It afflicts the comforted. And so it's important to come and be a part of that. I really do believe that the church, our relationship with the church is a symbiotic relationship, that the more you give to it, the more you get from it. But the American mentality of church is that I'm going to suck the thing dry. I'm not frustrated about that at all. I'm going to suck it dry, right? Because these are the things that we say about church. These are the things, the phrases that we use with respect to church. I left that church because I wasn't getting fed. Oh, Lord. Can we talk about that for a minute? Now, we've got a lot of babies being born in this church. It's something in the water. If you're looking to get pregnant, there's a water fountain in the back. So, I mean, like, in fact, Motown, you guys keep it up. Motown, we're going to be a huge church when it's all said and done because y'all are children everywhere. And so it's so much that we're actually, like, Motown is expanding. Our kids' ministry is expanding. We're adding a nursing mother's room so that you guys can enjoy the experience in there. And so it's just, it's awesome. So, but this is something that I think, especially you, but I think all of us can understand. When you're an infant, when you're a baby, that's all that you do is take. You have essentially, and you'll understand what I'm saying with this, you don't have anything to offer in the relationship, right? You just take, and you take, and you take. You take time, and you take effort, and you take energy. You take, and you take. That's because you're a baby, and that's what you're supposed to do. But as you mature, you have responsibilities. When you become a teenager, you've got chores. You've got things that you've got contributions that you've got to make around the house. When you're an adult, adulting is hard. You figure this out, right? So if you leave because you're not getting fed, you're a baby. Next, right? You don't always come so that you can be fed. Sometimes you come so that you can feed others. Sometimes you come so that you can encourage others. And it should be mutually beneficial, right? When you're down, man, we want to be here for you and lift you up. But when others are down, you've got something to give. You've got a sacrifice. You've got something you can offer, too. I really do believe that the scope of our influence will continue to expand as we each play our part by serving and giving. Serving and giving. Here's the deal. This church is just another church. It's just another place of worship if we don't serve our butts off and if we don't give sacrificially. Our influence will always be nominal if we don't serve and we don't give. What we do in the community, our ability to influence and impact the community will always be just minuscule if we don't serve and we don't give. And I'm not talking, because this is the rule in church. It's the Pareto principle. 80% of the people do 20% of the work. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And that's garbage. That is weak. That's baby stuff. That's infantile, right? What we need to do is collectively, everybody do your part. Everybody serve. Everybody give. And the scope of our influence gets exponentially increased, right? So that more families will be touched. So that more children will be infused with hope. We talk about Mission of Hope and the money that we give there, like they're providing hope. We buy shoes for kids at Christmas time so that we can buy more shoes for more kids, so that kids will be infused with hope, so that more thirsty souls will be refreshed as we give more to charity water. More broken men will be restored as we continue to support House of Disciples. I really do believe that the light of this body, are you guys bored with this? Because, all right, good, because I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I really do believe that the light of this body will shine more brightly into the darkness. I really do believe that. If we're willing to pay the price to see that happen, to sacrifice preference on the altar of progress. Because here's the deal. This church isn't always going to look like maybe what you would prefer, but let's always prefer truth over tradition. Can we talk about that for a minute? Hey, man, this thing may not always look like you think it should look like, but if we're reaching people, who cares? And if you come in and you were a big deal when you first came in because we're so excited you're here, and maybe you got saved in this church, now you're one of us. Now it's your turn to give back. It's your turn to serve. And you understand what I'm saying? It's the 99 versus the one mentality. Jesus said, hey, I'm always going to leave the 99 to go find the one lost sheep. You're in. You're fine. You're good. Let's go get some more people. I really do believe that hundreds and hundreds more will come if we continue to invest and invite. But you got to have skin in the game. Don't sell me something you're not smoking. And I'm not telling you to quit smoking. I'm telling you to start smoking the stuff you're selling. Only in this church. Only in this church are you going to get that, right? No. Don't sell me on something that you're not bought in, that you're not all in, that you're not all about. If you ain't about that life, stop trying to sell something. It warms my heart when I get on Facebook and I see people that are inviting other people to this church. And it's not like you're like, come to my church or you're an idiot, right? Or, you know, our doctrine's the only right doctrine. But I see people that say things really simple like, you know, this church has been home for me and it has changed my life and my family. If you don't have a church, we'd love for you to come. Man, that just, it warms my heart, right? Here I go getting all emotional again. Don't invite me to something that you're not all in on. And so what I'm telling you is not to stop selling. I'm telling you to start smoking. Start smoking this church, right? I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. I'm almost done. And man, God, I wish my voice was here for this. I saw a poem one time that kind of, man, it motivated me. It inspired me. And it's called The Church I See. And I altered it slightly so that I look more poetic and awesome. And this is what it says. And man, I want us to envision our church. I want you to envision your church. When you say it, don't say that church. Don't say their church. It's my church. This is my church. You say this is my church. You have skin in the game. It's a partnership. It's symbiotic in relationship. And so the church I see is so attractive, so refreshing, so inspiring that the buildings struggle to contain the increase. I see a church where people are so in love with Jesus, energized in his presence. It's going to be a struggle. I see a church where people are so in love with Jesus, energized in his presence, committed to walking in his ways, where living for God is no longer a burden or obligation, but it's an opportunity for praise. I see a church where lost people are found and sick people are healed, where hurting hearts are restored, restless souls are awakened, where prodigals come home and families are strengthened. I see a church radically committed to taking the message of hope beyond these walls, the Savior once given for all who call upon his name. I see a church that leads the way with radical generosity, blessed for the least of these, shapers of history, full of people who believe it's better to give than to receive. Try, but you won't succeed to outgive God. It's an impossibility. His heart breaks for the least of these. The church I see, everyone brings their best with a focus on excellence, where honor is given and passion is shared, a kingdom on fire in power and prayer. The church I see, it never stops going. It never stops growing. It's relentless on mission, a passion and vision where Jesus is famous and the restless awaken. The wayward are rescued. The hopeless are saved. And one purpose it drives us, a hope for the hopeless, his kingdom unfolding, his favor upon us. She's compassionate and faithful, enduring and great. She's bold and unshaken, full of power and strength. This hope of the world, because this hope, he's in us, redeeming and faithful. His spirit surrounds us, never content, always inspires for the cause of Christ, for the sake of others. She never backs down. She always lifts higher the hands of the broken and downcast and tired. She speaks for the voiceless. She stands for the weak. She carries the hopeless and strengthens the least. Remembering the past, but always looking forward. Remembering the past and where you started, but always looking forward. Empowering generations to carry the torch. Engaging the masses to fulfill the call that Jesus has given, no matter the cost. She's unified, significant, inspiring, committed, full of visionaries and innovators, anointed and gifted. She's humble, compassionate, authentic, contagious. She's timeless, magnificent, youthful, and ageless. She's faith-filled, inspired, together as one. Jesus, you be exalted. Your will be done. No weapon against her will ever prosper. Not even hell with its devil can possibly stop her. The church I see, It's just getting started. Blessed beyond measure, called to endure till heaven is upon us and life is restored to the fullness of the promise of one. The church I see, the best is yet to come. And to that end, together we will run. That's the church I see. If that's the church I see, if we all do our part. Let me pray for us. God, you are so good. Thank you for the church, not the concept of church, not the idea of church, but the practicality of church. That the church is the only entity, it's the only organization that you left, you established on the earth. And so, God, we believe that the church is important. We believe that we have purpose here. We believe that we are called to be connected to the church. God, we also believe that it's not about us, God, that you've placed us here for the benefit of others, to be hope to the hopeless, to be light that shines in the darkness. So, God, I pray that as we leave this place, that you'll do two things. God, that you'll, God, increase the faith of anybody who's struggling, anybody who's dealing with some doubt, anybody who's got some second guessing going on in their life, that they would be confident of this, that he who began a good work in them will be faithful to complete that work. And then we'll also remember, God, that you have called us and created us to be a part of a community. And it just so happens that this is the community that we're a part of. So, God, help us to get skin in the game. If we don't have any, God, that we'll start smoking what we're selling. God, that you will help us to be so passionate and so involved and connected to this church that it won't be possible for anything to happen but for us to invest and invite, for us to be, God, the church that reaches out beyond these four walls. God, I pray that as we leave, that you would help us to accomplish that, that you would help us to be the if church, not just if and a question, but if and the answers. Jesus, we love you so much, and it's in your incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.